Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. It's a wonderful afternoon, sitting out here in my patio. The sun is going down. And let me tell you about last week. I've got a whole lot of subjects to talk about. I was in a speech contest on Tuesday, and I didn't win. I competed with three women of my club that I'm a member of, and I talked about heaven. And maybe it's no wonder that I didn't win, because some of the subjects I talk about are not really typical for most people. Anyway, that's one thing I'd like to talk about, and then some other subjects will include politics and shout-outs. I got some shout-outs. And if I should break away from what I'm doing here, what I'm saying, to open up the door, because we've got four dogs and two cats, and they're coming and going all the time, knocking on, scratching on the door. So just to tell you in advance that I might need to take a break. So I hope everybody is doing all right out there in internet radio land. All around the world, internet radio connects us. And BBS Radio, a shout out to them for being brave and courageous and talking about these things that people don't like to talk about, because it's scary, really. It's scary stuff when you talk about heaven and extraterrestrials. But really, I opened up my speech Tuesday night by saying, on the way there, I saw a sign above the road that said 327 deaths on Texas roads so far this year. It's only just a little past, going towards the end of February. And all last year, and it's about the same, it's kind of amazing how here in Texas, it's almost the same amount of people that die on the roads every year, about 3,000, without fail. I mean, that is strange, most strange, I think. But so far this year, 327, and it really leaves me in a quandary why people don't want to learn more about what's going to happen when they die, you know. People think, including me, I guess, that it can't happen to them. And I don't want to be, a morbid person and talk about these subjects that might be depressing, but time is of the essence, I believe. Why are we here on Earth? We're here to develop ourselves spiritually. But this is a planet that is, in my opinion, from what I've read, of a lower evolutionary category, a very beautiful world, a wonderful world, no doubt, with much life. That's another thing I wanted to talk about. And you know me, anybody that's listened to me before, I change subjects fast. And although I'll try to keep it easy for you to follow me, I'd like to say that one of the problems, if you will, that we have here on Earth is that we don't know that there's life out there elsewhere in the universe, even in our Milky Way galaxy, you know, perhaps even in our solar system. It would be so advantageous for us as a civilization, so beneficial.
Hey,
I got to tell the dog to be quiet, too.
Please keep your barking to a minimum. I'm on my radio show here.
Thank you. That's one of our dogs is a smooth fox terrier, female, about 7-8 years old. She's a rescue dog. All our pets are rescues. And she's the barker in the family. She likes to go out to the backyard and bark all night long. I have to get her in at times because I don't want her waking up the neighbors, but we have coyotes in our backyard, in the area behind our backyard. And every once in a while, especially at nighttime, they'll sound off. You know, there's a pack out there, maybe more than one, about 10 maybe or more. Sounds like it. And they're wild, you know. And so when they start yapping and
barking, then all the dogs in the neighborhood, most of them anyway, start barking. And they've been known to take some stray dogs that have gotten loose, that have gotten lost around our neighborhood. They'll eat them. That's their supper. And cats, too. In fact, we lost a cat one time, and his name was Ninja Kitty. He was a black, fluffy cat with a big old bushy tail, and I saw him the night that he disappeared. He just walked past me, and then he never came back. And I'm looking at one of our cats just came up and sat next to me here on the couch. We have a love seat in the patio, and his name's Simba. He's a male. He's a beautiful cat. And the cats walk along our fence, you know, and on the back fence. And I think that with Ninja Kitty, maybe one night he was walking along the fence, and I've seen some really big birds, like an owl, that have 5-6 foot wingspan. And it might have just swooped down. He wasn't that big, maybe 10 pounds at the most, about a year old, I think. And or he might have been back there exploring behind our backyard, and he got cornered by the coyotes and couldn't get away and got eaten. But anyway, I was going to say, you know, life, knowing there's life out there is so important. And right now we can't prove that there is life out there. I think that our civilization could make some serious strides ahead into the future, knowing that there was life out there, whether it was animal life, vegetable life, or maybe sentient life, like extraterrestrials. And I'm totally convinced that they're out there, but why would they want to make contact with us when we don't even believe that there's life out there? You know, they're probably thinking, well, these people are not very evolved. You know, there's a lot of young souls on our planet, not many old souls, I think. And then there are the ones in between, the intermediate souls. How about you? What kind of soul are you? Are you a young soul? I mean, do you have, like, just a few lives, maybe no past lives? You know, when we were born into this world, we were all born. I'm sure we can agree on that. Before we existed in the spirit form, we had a pre-existence. And heaven, that's where we came from. That's where we're going to get back to, where we're going to return, hopefully. You know, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to still pass the test, you know. In this university of the universe, you have to graduate from this existence, get to a higher category of planet through the process of reincarnation. Well, life up there, we don't need NASA to discover life at the bottom of Europa's ocean, you know, one of the moons of Jupiter. They're spending billions of dollars preparing to send a spaceship to Europa. It'll land on that icy moon, and then send a probe, burrow it through the ice, which is very thick, down into the ocean, and they think that there are hydrothermal vents down there at the bottom of the ocean. And here on Earth, there's usually a lot of life around hydrothermal vents, so they're hoping to find life there. And on Mars, I think they've discovered water, but no life. But I believe there was life there at one time because it cooled down when it got farther away from the sun. You know, we're right now in a green zone, so to speak, in our revolution around the sun, which means that the sun's heat and light can sustain life as we know it here, and also provide photosynthesis for the plants, the plant life, you know. And what a variety of life we have here on Earth. Some of you may have heard me talk about this before, but there's over a million types of insects. Can you believe that? Here on Earth, over a million types of insects. And I'm talking about big ones, small ones. Beautiful creations, right, with wings, some of them, all with metabolisms and reproductive systems. Some can fly, eyes, they have eyes, they can see. Amazing creations. And fish, the fish in the oceans and seas and rivers and lakes, over 30,000 of them, different types, that is, you know, 30,000 different types of fish and crustaceans and squid and octopus, that kind of thing. And birds, 10, 12,000 types, different types of all different colors and sizes and shapes and different kinds of beaks. And all beautiful creations, you know. And then there's reptiles, about 10,000 also. Different kinds of snakes and lizards. And then there are amphibians, about several thousand of them. Different types, amazing. Mammals, you know, over 5,000. You know, we're mammals. And then there are, let me see, what are they called? Dolphins, and there's whales, they're mammals. So, my friends, the point is, there is a lot of life here on Earth. And for those people, and they are out there, the agnostics, the atheists, they think that all of that happened by accident. Well, I'm going to talk about that. Through the process of logic, I'm going to prove to you that there is life out there. We don't need NASA to discover it. We can rejoice and be glad knowing that there is a creator out there who created all that life. But let's take the other stance, the other side of the coin. If it happened by accident here on Earth, could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? That's logical, right? But if there is a creator who is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all of this variety of life here on Earth, could not that creator with that power and knowledge create either the same or different life elsewhere in the universe? Anywhere with that power and knowledge, could that creator not create life as we know it anywhere? I think so, because, I mean, to have that power and knowledge to create that type of life, create us human beings, that's a power and knowledge that is beyond our comprehension. That's a kind of magic is the best way to describe it. So there, I've just proven that there is life out there. We don't need NASA to discover it. It's proven. If it happened by accident here, logically it could happen by accident elsewhere. Or if there's a creator, that creator has the power and knowledge to create any kind of life anywhere in the universe. And the universe is a big place, 15 billion light years in diameter. Okay. Shakira, no, come on. The dog wants to get inside, but the problem is, right, it's, the door is closed right now. And anyway, I'm going to have to take a break here, my friends. I'll be right back, okay? So give me about a minute or so. All right. Thanks, Doug. Hello, everybody, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world. By the way, if I'm going to do this, I was thinking of taking my show to once a week. I believe I've got a lot to share, you know, in making the world, helping make the world a better place like BBS Radio is doing. And we never know if tomorrow might be our last day, you know, me included. And it really behooves us to share what we know with each other. And most of what I've learned is from other people, the books that I've read in the past. So during the speech contest, my speech was about heaven, like I mentioned. So I said, one of the first things I talked about is, how many of you believe that you have a spirit in your body? Yeah, every hand, just about every hand went up. And what do you think that spirit is made out of? And somebody said, energy. And I said, yes, that's what I think too. Light energy, billions of electrons. So in our real form, because now we're in a physical body, just like that police song, we are spirits in the material world. You know, and there's other people that think like me, that's good, because otherwise it would be kind of scary. And that's the problem, really, is that these subjects are kind of taboo. You think about them afterwards. You wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, excuse me, let me take a drink of water. Why do I talk about these things? I could be just talking about ordinary day stuff instead of talking about spiritual matters. But some of us have to be brave and courageous and do it right. And you know what I'm talking about. So heaven. I had a 5 to 7 minute speech. I talked all about heaven. Okay. What have you, who of you think out there that, in other words, let me rephrase that. There's a world on fire out there in the distance. You know what I'm talking about? And that is what I call heaven, because it is a very special fire, and the spirit, our spirits can live in fire because they're made of light energy. So the spirit that's inside of us when we die, our physical bodies die, leaves the physical body, pops out. I've read about it a lot in near-death experiences people have had and have come back to talk about them. That's a pretty common thing. A woman got hit by a car, run over by a car. She was on her bike. I forget the name of the book. I've got it upstairs. And the first thing that happened was that she saw that she popped out of her body. She was seeing her underneath the car, yet she was standing on the side of the car watching it all happen. And she was pretty seriously injured, but survived. Another man was driving his car down the road, going to a party at 100 miles an hour, and his car flipped end over end several times. He was thrown from the car, and he had a really bad head wound. Car caught on fire, but he had been thrown from the car, and so he survived. And him also left his body looking down on it as he was going to the hospital, to make a long story short. So the only world on fire that I know is the sun. Now, some of you might think, well, how is it possible then that maybe all the other beings in the universe would share our sun as a heaven? Well, they don't. You see all the different suns that are up there in the evening sky. They belong to their own civilizations that are out there, other beings, you know, either human. Most of the extraterrestrials out there are humanoid. In other words, they have a head, two arms, two legs. Anthropoid, I believe it's called. But heaven is where we came from. It's where we are going to return. It's a, if you look, put your sunglasses on, look into the sun as a spirit. It's a world of spirit matter. It's a fire. It's an amazing thing, really, to think that it's been burning for millions of years and will continue to burn without a glitch. I mean, we have no control over that. We take it for granted. We should be worshiping the sun. So I went on to talk about it in the speech contest, and people were kind of receptive, but afterwards, that's typical. Usually the subjects I talk about, I don't win many speech contests that I get into. Why? Because my wife told me, I said, Jackie, why didn't I win the contest? She said, because you talked about the forbidden. And that's just it. Even when I opened up and said, there's 327 deaths on Texas Road this year, Texas Roads. People dying. I think the number, the total around the earth, people dying every day is 40,000. Now, hold on just a second here. Think about that. 40,000 people around the world dying every day. And you don't want to learn more about what happens when you die and an afterlife? Because you think it can't happen to you. You have control over everything that happens when you get on the freeway? I don't think so. I'm not trying to convert you. You know, I'm a co-creator God in the making just like you. I have a heart and a brain. I can die. Why are we here on earth? Just to have children and, you know, have a job, go to work, make money, enjoy the pleasures of life. Yes, we can do that, but it's also an obligation that we have to develop ourselves spiritually, because we are in the university of the universe. And the object is to graduate from this existence. It's like here on Earth, we're in the first grade, and some other planets out there in the universe are inhabited by civilizations of beings of a higher category, like the 12th grade and everything in between, you know, first grade, 12th grade, maybe even college, show college, university in there. Through that process of reincarnation, that's what the Supreme Creator's master plan is. The Supreme Creator who created the universe through the Big Bang, the first solar system, and then another, and another, and another, and the first galaxy, and then another galaxy. That's the plan. Categories of planets, 1 through 9, whereas 1 is of the lowest category and 9 is the highest category. Right now we are being monitored by highly advanced civilizations who are helping us in ways and have intervened in the past to see us through some difficult times. But that's another subject. Let me get back to heaven. So, as I mentioned, not everybody gets back there right away. You've heard of ghosts. Those are people who die suddenly, violently, and who don't know that they're dead. And usually also they're not developed spiritually. In other words, they had no belief that there was a God, that there's a heaven and there's angels there. They hardly ever thought about it. They lived a very material life, which is okay, but you really have to believe in something, you know? And technology nowadays has improved to the point where it's taking most of our time. We can't leave our spirituality behind, my friends. We've got to synchronize our spiritual development along with our technological development. One of the things I like to do on my show is to read from my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, found in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. I guarantee you, I won't say guarantee, but if you want to develop yourself spiritually, everything that's in that book I learned from other people, get it. It's free. All you got to do is have a Kindle Unlimited, I think it's called. There's 31 chapters that talk about all kinds of subjects. Let me just give you a little, before I start reading about heaven, a little taste of what I have here, all the different chapters. The human spirit, our pre-existence, the transition, what happens when we die, our spirit parents, the great original creator spirit, the highest heaven, the lowest heaven, earthbound spirits, reincarnation, types of angels, Jesus Christ, light, the devil, bad spirits and demons, space and darkness, the four forces of the universe, categories of planets, Mother Earth, types of extraterrestrials, anti-gravity, electromagnetism, telepathy, dreams, sin, the life review, the human aura, prayer, a sample prayer, suicides, harmful impressions, noise pollution, my gift to God, titles of praise and honor, the gray brain and the golden soul, my poems, which I later then named my book, friendly tips, biblical misinterpretations, Hercolobus, a planet that's supposedly coming, and when it gets close, in close proximity to Earth, it will tilt us on our axis and create a whole new, reshape the face of Europe, in other words. And it's coming, they say. My theory of everything, praise is another subject, colors is another subject, and then my references. So let me read a little bit about heaven to you. The highest heaven, the sun and other suns. The suns, let me talk about it. Prepare to be amazed. The highest heaven is a place of incredible beauty beyond our wildest imagination. Ironically, once we arrive there, it's a place we recognize. It is a place we recognize, which we gradually become familiar with. We pre-existed there before we were born. It is our true home. This is where we need to return. It is our mission to do so. Sooner or later, everyone will return. The sooner the better, I believe. I've had enough of war and killing. How about you? Category 1 planets are good for only one thing, to graduate from and evolve through reincarnation to a higher category planet. See, most people don't even know why they're here on this planet. We're just some planet in the Milky Way galaxy in our solar system first, and our Milky Way galaxy. Going through space. We're not in the same location we were yesterday, my friends, as we continue to revolve around our sun, which revolves around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which revolves around the center of the universe. So that area of space that we're in right now, we weren't in yesterday because we're moving, and we're moving fast. It's an amazing thing how gravity keeps us all together, because we're all held into existence by the might of the Supreme Creator. Power beyond comprehension, incredible, incredible, amazing, awesome power to rotate planets and moons and revolve them around sun, their suns. So after years of reading, much study, and serious contemplation, I've concluded that the highest heaven is a sun, not necessarily our sun. It could be any sun within the Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy of the human beings. The sun is the center of a solar system. Really, we take the sun for granted, don't we? We should be worshiping it, my friends. We should worship the sun, because without the sun, we'd be dead. And we take it for granted, the beauty, the precision, the clockwork, if you will, more accurate than the best clock here on Earth, a nuclear clock. Without fail, no glitches, no glitches, perfect, absolutely perfect in what it does. Continues to burn, provide light and heat for our planet and the other planets and moons around our solar system. Perfect, it's functioning perfectly, no glitches, none whatsoever. We take it for granted, don't we, my friends? The sun is the center of the solar system. Really, we take the sun for granted. The sun is more than a celestial body. It is a planet on fire. Indeed, it is a very special fire. A fire where 6 million tons of hydrogen are converted to helium every second. A fire where there is nuclear fusion occurring on a scale difficult to comprehend. It is the fire of God, my friends. In fact, it is the spirit world where all spirit come from and where they will all return. It is a world of spirit matter where all physical matter originates from. Indeed, our planet and everything on it was created from our sun. And that's a fact. You know that. To those who don't believe the sun is heaven, I have no proof or evidence to offer, but I do have quotes from different books I've read that will help to substantiate this. Here they are. In the book, I Visited Ganymede, a story of a man who went to live with a race of superhuman beings inhabiting Ganymede, one of Jupiter's moons. The author, Joseph Abraham, a friend of that man, says this of the sun. This book was translated from Spanish to English, so please forgive the author for his grammatical imperfections. A world like the sun, in which the material or physical life is not possible, but could possibly be the home for the special reign of types of beings, we can say spirits, that concentrate there the infinite knowledge of the Creator. And this is the truth. The sun is not only the astronomical center of our planetary system, which its force and gravity keeps in its orbits to many other celestial bodies. It's much more. It's also the center of the matrix, in a word, the rain, in which, like a central distributor, concentrates all the forces, all the intelligences, all the powers of nature and the cosmos related, with all the worlds and the beings that form part of the great family of their planetary system. And this gigantic central distributor, this sidereal rain, is not anything else but the cosmic rain, the supreme throne from which the supreme and great spirit, which on earth we call God, governs the whole solar system. God, our spirit mother and father in heaven, are governing our solar system. And if you think there's only a Father God, you are wrong, because if you were a man always wants a woman by his side. What's to say that Father God wouldn't want a woman by his side? Why not? You can't tell Father God that he doesn't want a woman or shouldn't have a woman by his side. Plus, you can't create children without a male and a female, that male and female bonding, merging of spirits, so to speak. And that's how they create spirits and souls there in the spirit world, heaven. I'm looking at it over in the distance. Bringing heaven closer to earth, my friends. That's what we do. That's what BBS Radio is doing with the beautiful people that have their shows out there. Bringing heaven and earth closer so we can stop all this war and killing, have peace and have peace. Wouldn't that be nice? Do you think it's possible? There's another book, my friends, called Paradise, the Holy City and the Glory of the Throne. It says this about heaven. When Seneca Saadi, a man who is near dying when his spirit temporarily leaves his body, is transported to heaven in the chariot of Archangel Gabriel. The earth with its cities, towns, and mountains were vanishing like a specter in the distance. We soon seemed to have the moon under our feet as we mounted the pillars of the heavens. As I would look abroad from the chariot window, the stars could be seen everywhere, just as I had always seen them on earth. I knew that we had not gone beyond the regions of the solar system. We were being transported to heaven. A near-death experience, my friends. Later, he also says, I looked abroad. We were entering a region of bright clouds, something like a glorious, glowing, earthly sunset, only far superior. And so that's what the sun is like when you're there. Obviously, the light is emanating from the interior with all that nuclear fusion going on. But we're in the spirit, just like spirits can survive in hell, in lake fire, burning in fire. And that's what the Bible talks about. So how much different is fire, lava beds, fire and lava beds from the fire of the sun? It's a different kind of fire, I know. But my point is the spirit can live in the fire. In the near-death experience of Lou Formoso, whose spirit also temporarily left his body when he was involved in a horrific car accident. That's the one I was talking about. He says this, I entered what looked like the Holland Tunnel without the cars and traffic and the ability to see what looked like light at the end. And by the way, my wife had a near-death experience last May. She almost died. She almost went through the tunnel, but she heard a voice say it wasn't her time. It was dark, but not black. The path was slightly illuminated from what I thought to be sunlight shining from the other end. Sunlight, my friends. Many of the near-death experiences people have described traveling through a tunnel towards a light. My explanation of this is when the spirit leaves the body, it is no longer a part of the physical world and cannot experience heat, cold, or any other bodily sensations. What it does experience, however, is the light of the sun. The spirit is drawn to the sun like a magnet, in accordance with the spirit parents' wills, and has to travel the 93 million miles of distance through space to get there. When in spirit, the light of the sun is perceived more as a tunnel. If one has seen NASA pictures of sunlight that travels through space, it appears as a single ray of light. Here on Earth, we cannot perceive this because the entire planet is contained in that ray of light. In Betty Eady's book, Embraced by the Light, one of the most profound and complete near-death experiences ever, which I read back in 92, my friends. If you haven't read Embraced by the Light, was a New York Times bestseller, you should. It is awesome. She has a similar near-death experience from suffering internal hemorrhage after a hysterectomy and says this: I saw a pinpoint of light in distance. The black mass around me, space, began to take on more of the shape of a tunnel, and I felt myself traveling through it at an even greater speed, rushing towards the light. And as I got closer, the light became brilliant, brilliant beyond any description. But as the sun, you can't even look at it without hurting your eyes, right? My thought regarding this is the sun does seem brighter when in outer space, outside of the Earth's atmosphere. In Rebecca Springer's book, Within Heaven's Gates, her spirit temporarily leaves her body after suffering from an illness. She says this about heaven: instead of sunlight, there was a golden and rosy glory everywhere. It resembled the afterglow of a southern sunset in midsummer. My thought regarding this is when you're in heaven, on heaven, you are there at the source. There is nothing shining from a distance because the whole world is made of light and is light. In Jesse Duplantis' book, Heaven, his spirit temporarily leaves his body as he is sleeping, and he relates this about heaven. Heaven must not be too far away. It didn't seem as if I'd gone out of our galaxy. It is like being on another planet. I think the sun should seem as if it is another planet, my friends. The only difference is it's larger and on fire. It is still round and made of basically the same materials. We call moons moons when in essence they are the same as other planets, only smaller, right? Consider this, please. I think our perspective regarding the sun is limited because most of the time it is too bright to look at. If we could look at it more often, we would spend more time wondering what it really is and who made it. My advice is not to ignore the sun. Treat it as a friend. Our lives depend on it. Besides, many civilizations on Earth in our past have worshipped the sun. What makes us that much different from them? Our sun is connected to all the suns in the universe as if in a network, all the way to the very center of the universe, where the first and largest sun exists, the great central sun. It is 15 billion light years from our sun. All of the suns are connected by what could be compared to as a golden tunnel. Indeed, the tunnel, and it goes on. But let me read some more elsewhere about the people that we're going to meet when we're there. I'm just going to go off what I said in my speech. So if you are fortunate enough to get to heaven, time is running out. My friends, you're going to see deceased relatives there and angels everywhere, all kinds of angels too. You have archangels, seraphims, cherubims, virtues, dominions, principalities, thrones. And heaven, if you look at it, as I just described it, as a world, a round world like Earth, our sun is so much larger than our planet, 100 times at least larger. But our sun is not as big as the first sun, the great central sun of the universe, which is about 1,000 times bigger than our sun. Imagine that. So suffice it to say, there's a lot of land, a lot of property out there. And heaven is like here on Earth. The same things on earth you'll see there in heaven. Lakes, mountains, rivers, valleys, trees, flowers. All there, but much, much brighter. In fact, all the colors there are incredibly beautiful and intense, so much more intense than here on earth. If you can imagine the old Polaroid cameras, a photograph, when it came out, remember when it first came out, it looked dark. That was the negative. And then it changed color. I mean, it developed and became a beautiful color photograph, right? Well, earth is like the negative, and heaven, the sun, is like the positive. Looking again with spirit eyes into the spirit world, the sun, you'll see chariots being driven everywhere. Remember that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot? Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Driven by angels. It's like a metro system there, connecting all parts of heaven, the outside areas. And one thing we do all the time is we praise the Creator for the miracles of all creation. And indeed, the Creator, the Supreme Creator of the universe, is very worthy of praise, my friends, because all of this happened because of the Creator. All of this was created from nothing. Everything that you see was created from nothing. We are observing miracles of creation. We have no idea how to do that. We can't even create an apple seed or an ant, let alone everything here on earth. And this is a very beautiful planet, very large. And so then you have water in heaven, and it has a different quality. And you can go down inside of it, but of course you don't have lungs because you're a spirit. And you can exist in the water. And the water is very beautiful. It has all the colors of the rainbow in it. And you can still hear things up above the surface of the water. It has a different quality. One of the things that you might be fortunate enough to have done to you when you get to heaven is be approached by Father Abraham, who is a big barrel-chested man with a beard, giving you a golden goblet filled with the water of the river of life for you to drink and do away with all those impurities of the past life. Because truly, I mean, we are exposed to many harmful impressions here on earth. That's why it behooves us to speak good words, my friends. And of course, the patriarchs of the Bible, the other patriarchs of the Bible are there. I must say, some of them have reincarnated. Some of them have reincarnated. And the disciples, people from throughout the centuries, from all cultures, all eras, are going to be there. It's going to be wonderful. There's activities galore in heaven. There's concerts. There's speeches. There's lectures. All the famous people, think of them all from the past. Socrates, Plato, Sir Isaac Newton, Einstein, Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., great minds, Benjamin Franklin, Roosevelt, people who were just like you and me at one time, and then they left this world, this earth, and now exist in the spirit world. And among them is also the greatest praise master of heaven. Remember this, I told you. King David, David from the Bible, is the ultimate praise master. And believe it or not, you get a standard issue of equipment when you get there, the golden harp. You might laugh, but it's true. You'll see. And so singing songs, praising the Creator, the creation, just existing, being alive, even in the spirit, you know. And indeed, it's an incredible thing to come to earth and be born. And we don't remember that, do we? Live our lives and then go back to heaven, hopefully. My book has so much of this in it, my friends. We're running out of time. But if you want to read The Gray Brain, The Golden Soul, it's just what I've talked about is just a taste of what's in there. And it's free. But I understand, you know, some of you out there might be young souls, some old souls. The young souls don't think too much about their spiritual development, and they think that they're going to live to be a ripe old age, which isn't true in some cases. I'm sorry to say, I wish we all could live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, but not only are people dying in car accidents, people are dying from many different things, from disease. And that's one thing that we could cure if we knew that there was life out there, if we took it to a higher level, my friends, and really believed that the extraterrestrials are out there. There's so much that they could share with us. Not only will we become star travelers, capable of exploring other solar systems and other galaxies, wouldn't that be something? I mean, we had that spirit of exploration in us. You know, Columbus, if it hadn't been for that spirit of exploration in Columbus, who knows what might have happened differently? Or think of all the great explorers that have existed in our past. And we've lost our spirit of exploration. I mean, there's been 12 men that have walked on the moon. Apollo 11 through 17 went to the moon. Except for 13. You know what happened to 13. And that was a miracle that they got back alive. But we have been to the moon. And now the Chinese are getting ready to go. We need to build a base in coordination with the other nations from our planet. A base on the moon and on Mars, because we have to have a contingency plan, my friends, in case there's an asteroid coming that will destroy all life on Earth. And it's happened before. You know it has. Why do you think it couldn't happen again? So we need to ensure our longevity by creating bases on the moon. Excuse me. All this talking is making my throat dry. Yes, I did some singing before. I'm going to the Wounded Warriors on Monday, and I had to practice my repertoire, so I'm a superstar, by the way. Nice to meet you. I know many songs. I've got a repertoire of over 100 songs that I sing at the Wounded Warriors for about an hour and a half. I've been doing this now for going just over 6 years. So I'm an accomplished singer, but I have to take a drink of water now. Yeah, I think I'm doing really good. I'm a superstar. My son's a superstar, too. He lives in L.A., Burbank. When I think of L.A., I think about Kobe Bryant. You know, what a wonderful man he was. Where did he go? Where do you think is he still existing, do you think? He is. He's in the spirit. And we can die also, my friends. We can die also. These things shouldn't shock us, you know. You get into a helicopter, you know, they're not perfect. They have mechanical failures, pilot error. We get on an airplane, we don't know. I mean, they're basically safe. The percentage of accidents is very slim, but, you know, it's possible. It's happened before in the past. So my point is, we're all humans, and eventually one day we will die. Kobe Bryant, a little bit sooner. I'm sure he didn't plan on that. You know, he wanted to live to a ripe old age, and I knew him. I, you know, I saw him on TV. I loved him, you know, for the spirit, the kind, amazing person he was with all that wonderful talent. So now he continues to exist. You have to believe it, you know. You just have to believe there is an afterlife. You have to. Because if you get there and then you have your life as you in front of the mother and father spirit, the mother God, father God, and Jesus, who died on the cross and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. That's another story, my friends, you can read about in my book. But in that life of you, if you didn't realize that there is an afterlife, you're going to be so dejected. I should have known better. If only I had. If only this. If only that. I thought I was smart, but it turned out I didn't even know that was going to continue to exist. in the afterlife or continued on in another existence. So it behooves us to develop ourselves spiritually. What have you got to lose? It might require a little courage, bravery, but isn't this the land of the free and home of the brave in America, my friends? Well, there could be people listening to my show from around the world. And you're most welcome anytime, wherever you are. And a shout out to VBS Radio. Thank you for all they do. A shout out to my son in Burbank, California, my sister in Seattle, people who might know me listening to my radio show, people that I know, in other words, from my Toastmasters Club, my choir, at church, whomever, people I've known in my past from Guadalajara, Mexico. Shout out to you. You're all great, wonderful people. We're all equal, you know. I compare ourselves, you know, young souls, intermediate souls, old souls. But it's like being in brothers and sisters in school. You've got a younger brother or an older sister who's in a higher grade. That doesn't make them any better than us, right, or any smarter. It just means that they've lived longer. So they're in a higher grade. They've learned more. It's the same with spirits and souls. You know, some have had more lives, past lives than others. And who knows how many future lives you're going to have going through that process of reincarnation from this world to heaven. A little hiatus there, if you will. Enjoy the wonderful splendors of heaven. There's going to be feasts everywhere, tables laid out. You know, the streets are paved with gold, but there's also silver everywhere, the beautiful colors of heaven, purple, blue, red, green. The city which is in heaven, which the Bible talks about, the walls of the city are covered with precious stones, beautiful, beautiful precious stones, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, amethysts, all the precious stones you can think of. And then the pearly gates themselves are actually made of pearl, and there's pearl everywhere also, fountains, marble floors in your mansions. Mansions are created, they're there waiting for you. When you die, you're going to have your own mansion, your own house. It's going to be wonderful. And your deceased relatives are there waiting for you. And some houses, they have floors made of marble that have roses inlaid into the marble. All the finest furniture, mahogany, all of this colorful, but it's made of spirit matter. Here on earth, things are made of physical matter, but physical matter has its base in spiritual matter. It's true. Because you can't explain, no one could explain to me where this matter comes from, right? Anyway, I'm running out of time, my friends. By the way, I went and voted today, and I'm not afraid to tell you who I voted for, Elizabeth Warren. And I like Mr. Trump. In fact, I think he's a good man, although I don't agree with some of the things that he tweets about. The love is gone out of some of the things he says, you know, it's more geared toward hate. I was leaning towards voting for him, but God, I believe, spoke to me. Mother God, Father God, they said, what America needs is a female president. We almost had one with Hillary because female leadership is going to be good for the United States of America and the world, my friends. That's what I believe. You have to have an open mind like this, you know. Margaret Thatcher led England back in those days. Females should be more respected. They should be revered for the co-creators with God that they are. They have babies that grow inside their bodies. Men can't say that. They need to be respected more, loved more, admired more. We need more leaders, more female leadership. And also, I'm hoping that if she is chosen, I know that Bernie Sanders is in the lead, but she might have Julian Castro, who is the mayor of San Antonio, used to be when I'm living here, so he used to be the mayor. I'm hoping that she would have him as his running mate. And so we have a female president and a Latino Hispanic vice president. That's what I would like. And I think that would, I see a side of Elizabeth Warren. I saw it the other day when she debated against Bloomberg. You know, she put him in his place. She could put Mr. Trump in his place just as well. You agree? Does that make sense? And I'm really sorry to do this for Mr. Trump because I really like him. But, well, he did 4 years. You know, maybe it's someone else's turn. I think it's someone else's turn. And they should shift back and forth. Democrats, 4 years. Republicans, 4 years. They should do that, you know. Give the other party a chance to lead every 4 years. But they've got this process in place for 8 years. So that's the way it goes. So a quick prayer, and I'm going to make this short. I've only got a few seconds, my friends. Thank you for listening to my show. This is Black Ruby. I love you. My brothers and sisters in spirit out there, and this is one prayer that I'm going to say without going into a lot of detail. It's a very simple prayer, and you can say it too. Please do. May God bless us, everyone, everybody, every child of God here on earth. Take care. Bye-bye.